Like, when you're going on a walk, like, I'm going on a walk, do I have to, like, do you hold hands on a walk through the neighborhood? Phil, you hold hand holder? I'm not a hand holder.
I'm trying to hold hands all day.
Really?
All day.
No, I'm not a big hand holder either. Like, I'll hold hands here and there. Yeah. We're on a walk. You know,
right,
we're on
just
the quest.
Kind of walk. Yeah,
we're on a quest, like, to be the best.
I don't know about holding hands when you're walking, like, just, like, getting some exercise.
Yeah.
Is that the thing that you, is that when you're supposed to hold hands? I don't know. I'm not a relationship expert.
Not
any, huh?
A relationship expert? Is that what you're going
to
say?
Mm. No, I'm just, no. I'd like
to get Lana's thoughts on that. He doesn't give gifts anymore. He doesn't hold hands anymore.
Right, yeah.
Romance is dead in the Stokely house.
Yeah. Sounds like, have you figured that out?
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. But it's just like, I don't know. I mean, that's like in high school I did that.
Yeah,
but
Are you not a kid anymore deep down?
No, I'm 47.
Okay.
I'm a grown-ass man. I'm not holding hands.
You sound like a kid saying that. I'm a grown man.
I'm 40.
I'm 40.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll still go to Roller City and get roller skates. Oh. I'll put my arms around her and roller skate behind her.
I love it.
I
believe you, actually. I actually believe that.
It's the long hair. It's the pretty boy look, man. The pretty eyes.
Hey, kudos is an order to Josh Dover.
It is.
Thank you.
Kudos is in order to Josh Dover. He was all over Casey Mittelstadt. Anytime goal last night. I said, hey.
You said point.
I said point.
You both cashed.
Right, I played safer. I played safer. Josh, I mean, you go for it.
I did.
And you went for it, and it hit.
That was nice. I got to ask you, though, tonight.
Yeah.
Vancouver.
Yeah, it's big.
How much are you looking forward to watching this game? What are you really interested in seeing from this newly built farm with a couple new additions, Val coming back? Like, what's your number one thing that you're looking to see tonight against a really good Vancouver team?
I just would like to see how this new group bounces back on the second night of a back-to-back. Last night's performance I thought was impressive considering the fact that they haven't been very good in second periods this year. And last night they were dominant in the second period. So how do you do? Because if you look at total ice time, didn't McKinnon play like 17:45? What was the last time he played under 20 minutes in a game?
My man was chilling.
So I bet they
literally.
I bet they have plenty of legs tonight. I'm looking for more from Casey Mittelstadt. I'm looking for more from Val Nichushkin. No Lehkonen again tonight.
Yeah.
And no Zach Parise again tonight. The other part of
what's
this.
What's the story with Lehkonen, real quick?
Sick. Just illness. They've had a flu bug, I guess, going through the whole team.
Yeah, but they said that about Logan O'Connor, and then he had hip surgery.
And they said that about Bo Byram, and then he got traded.
Well, what about Zach Parise? Was it a knee at one point?
Yeah, he got tagged last week.
Was it serious, or are they? I know that in hockey, they keep stuff under wraps, which is crazy, man. I don't know, Matt. How are you able to just say it's a lower body injury and not be more detailed?
That's hockey. That's crazy. Hockey for you. No, he got tagged to the knee. It was kind of like a collision near the end wall, and he's been skating at practice, but in a non-contact uniform. But to go back to what Stokes saying, what I'm looking forward to tonight is how aggressive are you right out of the chute? Their start to me is really important tonight because it's Georgiev back.
Mm-hmm.
That's another big part of this. Eustis Onanen last night gave up 2 goals in the first 3 shots. And the second one was not a good one. And then you're starting to, the thoughts creep into the back of your mind. Oh, this guy just won the backup job. And now, did they make a huge mistake? But no, he rallied.
He
rallied. And the Avs in general, the shot pressure, Stoke, that they're creating right now, it's elite, right? I think heading into last night's game in the past 2, they had like 90-plus shots on goal. So if you can continue to be that type of dominant offensive attack, this team's best defense is their puck possession. That's when they're at their best. They're an elite offensive hockey team, and they also are really good defensively, mm-hmm. but they're clearly at their best when they're downhill. So that was good to see last night.
I got to read one quick text because you were trying to come up with your saying earlier about eagles and soaring.
Yes.
A texter writes, you can't soar with the eagles when you're working with a bunch of turkeys. Is that what you're looking for?
Sure, that sounds good. that sounds good. It's not what quite, but the first part was.
Soaring with
something
eagles.
Something about soaring with the eagles. Mm.
Well, who's supposed to be the Eagles?
Yeah, I don't know, Phil. I don't know. I'm very confused right now.
Who are we soaring
with? But like, if in the morning, if you want to soar with the Eagles, like get up and soar and get going, then there's another part of it that I forgot.
Come on, just make it up right now.
Yeah, I was trying to, but
anything. You could literally say anything.
Yeah, no, I can't. I'm not that creative. I've been doing it for 4 hours and 2 minutes now, and I am tapped out.
If you're going to hoot with the owls at night,
there it is.
You better be ready to soar with the eagles in the morning,
right,
my friend.
That's right, baby. There it is. Thank you.
That's me.
Thank you.
On
finally.
I'm so
disappointed in our texters that they didn't come through for us.
Well, I can't be disappointed then because the guy that sent it in signed it Tim. the 60-year-old skater.
Oh, wow. It all makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, because he got it wrong. That's right.
I think the turkeys thing is a saying, though. I think, what was it? You can't soar with the eagles when you're surrounded by turkeys?
Stomping around with turkeys.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yeah. I think that's a saying,
I'm looking for
too.
The one that you had, though. That's the one I know.
Who with the owls?
Who with the owls at night?
Yes, that's
like
it.
That if you're doing that, you can't soar with the eagles.
Yeah,
no
we're
more.
Talking about the Nuggets down in South Beach.
Oh, right? A little 305 action.
Yeah, so you, okay. 305 in my city.
Exactly.
I did it. you know, what do you do in South
Beach? Speaking of which, we need some pit bull today.
You hit the streets, you know? So, you know, if you're hitting them streets, hey, you got to be ready to wake up and get to business. So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like.
Got
to
feel like Miami has their complete attention, though. I mean, it's the team they played in the finals.
Josh, you just said that they lost. They've lost three
Miami's
in a row.
Lost three in a row. The last one
to
Washington at home.
Mm. Yeah,
they'll come to play tonight.
They're waking up tonight. Yeah. Huh?
Spoles, their coach. Yeah. Like, you know, he's about that business, and so they'll be locked in tonight, which I love. That's what I want.
Huge one for the Nuggets, though. They've got a chance to take solo first in the West tonight.
Yeah.
We talked about it at the end of the show. We're watching Indiana at Oklahoma City. Pacers won. That was a huge game for the Nuggets last night. So as it currently stands, OKC and the Nuggets are tied atop the Western Conference. Big one tonight, Miami. It's a chock full night here. I mean, we got Nuggets at 5:30 on ESPN, and then Avs and Canucks later in the evening. It's a late one, too. So it's going to be a late night. We're going to be up. We're going to be watching the snowfall. Apparently, I just read high uncertainty, maybe, from the Weather Service in Boulder about snow totals tonight. I feel like we're overhyping Snowmageddon here, and we're about to get
nothing. We always do, though, Matt. We always hype it up. But guess what? When you hype it up and it doesn't happen, you're at least happy. You're saying, okay, at least it didn't happen like it was, you know, supposed to. But if you don't hype it up and you don't get people prepared and they go out there and they're sitting there saying that the forecasters suck and they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, they most likely don't, right? I mean, every spring we tend to get a couple of these that just come out of nowhere. Hey, let's get back to the Asphalt real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let these boys get out of here today. I wanted to bring up last night's game against Vancouver with you. Against Calgary. First game of a 3-game Canadian road trip.
You're already getting ahead, Matt.
I know. I'm thinking about the playoffs.
I know, man. They put a butt whooping on the Flames last night, so you're already ready.
Yeah,
we don't even have to talk about it.
No, not at all.
All right, Josh, go hold them hands.
Yeah, go hold them hands. I was really impressed with the way that they bounced back in the second period.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they dominated the action in the first period, but they just didn't get any puck luck, right? Calgary led 2-1 after the first, and then here come the Avs. I mean, they scored, 5 unanswered goals in that game.
Second period, man. Second period was a bloodbath.
Bloodbath.
For the Colorado Avs, man. It's just like they turned it on. But you know what it looks like? And we talked about it yesterday, Matt, with the Denver Nuggets. The Avs have a switch when everybody is there. And when I mean everybody, Val's in place. Okay, they got Casey Mittelstadt sitting right there. Okay, Sean Walker, you know, had a really, really great, you know, I'm not saying great game. Really, really solid game. But I was excited about Casey Mittelstadt and what he brings to the table. And I seen some of the passing. Mm-hmm. Okay, I seen the aggressive play from him. And it just like, everything is starting to come along for the Colorado Avalanche, and they do have a switch when everybody is in full play.
And now what they can afford is somebody out of the lineup. Whereas beforehand, before the trade deadline, Arturi Lehkonen sits, and then, okay, well, now we really got to ask some guys who probably aren't capable of the roles that we're going to put them into to do that. Well, now you got Casey Mittelstadt. It does make things easier. And I was impressed last night with Mittelstadt because we spoke about it yesterday. Look, I've been skeptical about his fit, and I'm rooting for him. I want to see it, but I want to give him 10 games to see how this fits. So we always talk about you never get too high, you never get too low. Great performance last night. Now stack one in Vancouver. And Vancouver, Phil, this year is the best team in the West right now.
They're tough.
They are tough. And so what I really liked about the Avs is you're starting to see a team that can maybe absorb some of those blows. Like Brandon Duhaime trading for him as a depth forward for Minnesota. He played great. And he played on the second line last night.
He did.
The goal that Casey Mittelstadt scored was all on Duhaime. That was all Duhaime. Great recognition. He gets the long outlet feed at the blue line. One touches it over to Mittelstadt, who has the recognition to be on his horse, which is what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
In that moment, I went, oh, okay. And even Mittelstadt brought it up after the game. He said, look, in Buffalo, we didn't play like that. This is a faster team. And so
you can tell. Yeah, look at what Bo Byram's doing out there.
How about that? And we'll breaks my heart. I know, it breaks my heart. Two goals last night for Bo Byram. It was a really impressive performance. But again, I think that's where I'm at with Casey Mittelstadt, is I wanted to see a guy who could drive, who was aggressive off of the rush. And in Buffalo, that's just not really, I guess, how they played.
Yeah,
so when I've watched him over the years, and I watched tons of hockey all the time, and I went back and I watched tons of his film individually. And the thing with Casey is that, you know, he's not the most fluid skater. Mm. But we're starting to see he maybe has a little bit more in the tank skating-wise than we've seen from him before.
Well, Matt, it's easy when you have a bunch of dogs sitting around you that you're not just sitting there that somebody gets some kind of power play going or play going for you. But when you have people that are just sitting there that you have to worry about,
right. It
helps you out. It brings your game up. It implements that, you know what, I can do more for this. And you get a burst of energy when you're with a winning team, mm-hmm. Matt. You know that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I want to sit here and I want to prove to people like Nathan MacKinnon that they made the right decision by taking me, and I can bring something to this team to help us lift up that cup.
No question. It's infectious
is what it is.
It's, you don't want to let anybody down. Yes. You want everybody to have a high opinion of yourself. I remember, kind of took me back to high school basketball. I remember when we played, I remember we swung JV and varsity, yeah. A bunch of us, our first year. So we played in both. And I remember when we would practice just strictly varsity, there was one guy who was a bit of an older classman. He would go, there'd be a rebound defensively. He'd go, running! And then it was to teach all of us, uh-huh. Hey, okay, we got it, let's go. Yeah. And it was eventually one of those things where it's like, okay, this isn't how we've done it before. Now we've got to learn. And it does become infectious. And with the Avs, it's fun because you can play at that breakneck speed and transition and produce. And that's the most fun way to play
hockey. The passing is just like they get that puck around so fast. And in Buffalo, you look at Bo Byram, he's out there trying to tell everybody to spread out, and he kind of looks like Jokic at times when he's pointing at trying to figure out, hey, man, why are you not in your right spot? You know, because he's so used to being with the Colorado Avalanche where everything is just so fast-paced and everybody knows what they're doing. And now you have someone like Casey Mittelstadt that gets to be a part of the Colorado Avalanche and what they're doing, and he's having fun with it. I expect him to have a solid game tonight.
Good. Well, I can't wait to get into all of it with you and much more, but there's a big, big, big Broncos internal free agent that re-signed. We'll tell you who it was next. That's what Adam Troutman is saying today. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye for today and tomorrow, and who knows what happens with the snow. Zach may never come back. You never know.
He may love it too much.
He may just get stuck, you know what I mean? Permanently on the tarmac. Adam Troutman, Phil.
Yes.
The Broncos make a giant splash.
Let's go.
Huge.
He has saved the day. He has saved us for this year. We're going to win 17 games.
Finally. The Broncos have their tight end back in the building. I'll say, look, I think he's a solid overall player. He's a good depth piece.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for where the Broncos are, last year he played load. Because they just really didn't have anybody else. You know, that Manhurst signing, that never really panned out.
It really didn't, man.
You look at him. I mean, the guy's built like an Adonis.
Yeah.
He's built like a billboard. But it just really didn't pan out on the field.
Couldn't stay healthy, man. And every once in a while, you see him make a catch and then disappear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Adam Troutman being back, he's a great depth piece. He inherits and embodies what Sean wants because he was with Sean with the Saints. That's how it all got started. And now he's back here in Denver again. And so, yeah, man, I you need the depth pieces. That's what helps build the whole entire 53-man roster.
Oh, a little bit of breaking news here. I haven't seen this one yet. Former Broncos quarterback off the board. Off the board. Another former Broncos quarterback picked up.
Don't tell me Joe Flacco.
This time it's the Chicago Bears signing Brett Rypien to a one-year contract.
Brett.
Let it rip.
Let's go. You know what? I actually love Brett Rypien. He was very smart. He used to help me out, man, with my plays and help me organize things. Very smart, man. He's one of those good depth pieces at quarterback.
They always talk about Rypien will instantly become a coach the second he's done playing.
For sure going to be a coach.
Yeah. So Brett Rypien in Chicago, what does that mean for Justin Fields? Doesn't mean anything for Justin Fields. Is that an insurance policy when they eventually move on from Justin Fields?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. Insurance policy, they're going to move on from Justin Fields because you're adamant that they are going to pick up Caleb Williams, right?
They're going to draft him.
So,
if they don't, I'll have an aneurysm. They'll draft him.
We all know Justin Fields at some point is going to be gone. Just to who, man? Who?
You sound like an owl now.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah. Look, I think Brett Rypien's actually a really good pickup to be that kind of backup, kind of mentor, help him along type of a guy, at least for Caleb Williams. Now we'll see what happens with Justin Fields. I heard more discussion yesterday about keeping him in Chicago after we got off the air. And I just, Phil, and you and I brought it up kind of later in the show yesterday, but man, the way I feel like that's going to fracture that locker room.
Yeah, why? Why do that?
Why even open yourself up to that possibility?
Why do that to Justin Fields? Why do that to his teammates? Why do that to the fan base that's kind of split in between Caleb Williams and Justin Fields? Like, there's just nothing good that's going to come out of this. If you don't want Justin, find a way to get rid of him. If you want Caleb Williams, open the doors for Caleb Williams so he feels welcome, so you guys can start something new and something fresh.
It'll be interesting to see where Justin Fields and Zach Wilson and Sam Howell end up on rosters. Mm. We spoke about it at the end of the show, and we asked the text line for who they would want and what they would be willing to give up. Well, after the show, I went back and tallied. Howell was the main answer.
Was he the man?
And the average, or at least the average value that fans around here would be willing to surrender would be a fifth-round pick.
Okay.
So we'll see if that happens. Again, I go back to Washington signed Marcus Mariota, 1 year, $8 million yesterday. That seems much more like a stylistic fit of a Jaden Daniels backup than it does a Drake May backup. So it kind of has me thinking that maybe they're looking Daniels at two, which we've heard the rumors here lately that Daniels looks like the guy that's flying up the boards at two, and Drake May just hasn't done enough. But what I found interesting was, I don't know if you happened to catch that Bo Nix had his pro day.
He did. Yesterday.
Very lightly attended.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. There was only one GM or coach there, and it was the Bears, which, God bless them. I mean, I know
what are they doing?
I don't know, Phil. They must be bored.
Honest to God, they must be bored.
It didn't make any, it doesn't, I know that they're trying to do their due diligence, but I also saw a photo of Matt Eberflus with Matt LaFleur at a basketball game like last week.
I did see
What was it? That his daughter was looking at Marquette for school.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was. I got a three-quarter ride to Marquette.
Oh.
Turned it down. Why would I want to go to school in Milwaukee? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Some people like Milwaukee.
None of them are in this room.
Ask my boy Shelby. Shelby Harris from Milwaukee. You talk about Milwaukee, you might get beat down.
Well, and I wouldn't do that to Melly Shelby Mill. Harris.
Of speaking course, of, Melly Mill.
Speaking of Shelby, he just signed back in Cleveland, too,
yesterday. Two-year deal. Shelby stays finding a job in the NFL, man. I think he's going on year 10 or 11. Man, it's hard to find those big defensive tackles, man. It really is. So, good job. Good for Shelby.
So, the Broncos signed back Adam Trautman.
Yeah.
How do they go about developing that tight end room this year?
Look, we've been arguing. Zach and I have been arguing about this for the longest, okay? Because you have Greg Dulcich that you cannot count on. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, according to Cecil, he was a big part of their game plan last year before he did get hurt. You're trying to build, because Greg Dulcich is not a blocking tight end. He's going to be out there trying to make plays for you. So you're trying to build the tight end room to fit the run scheme, because we both agree, if we're going to go and get a young quarterback, we have to have a running team, right? We got to go get some tight ends that can help block. Okay, that was one of the biggest reasons why they had to get rid of Noah Font. Noah Font would refuse to block. He was not a good blocker, man. But
he just got paid,
end,
though.
He did get paid.
He just got paid, though, Phil, yesterday or the day before. Two years, $21 million.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you really need to? There are so many guys that don't do that anymore in the NFL that are really just receiving tight ends.
Well, if that's the case, then you have to go get somebody like Trautman that's willing to do the dirty work. You have to have some tight end that's saying, you know what, I'm going to be able to get paid doing this because I know someone like Greg Dulcich is not going to do it.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-tight end like Josh Dover is anti-fullback.
Well, you got to have a tight end, Matt. Look at the recipe.
Multiple.
You know, look at the recipe to success. Okay, the Kansas City Chiefs, quarterback, tight end. Okay, the Detroit Lions, quarterback, tight end. Josh Allen over there with Buffalo, quarterback, tight end. I mean, you could go down the line. Ravens, Lamar Jackson and Andrews, you know, quarterback, tight end. Like, that is the recipe in today's game. You got to have a solid tight end, and that's why I kind of been begging the table for us to go in there and draft a tight end. If we're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round, which we better now, then it should be somebody of trying to find someone like my man from Georgia.
Bowers.
Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
You know?
Look, yeah, agreed. Agreed 100%. I struggle to think the Broncos are going to stay at 12 if they're drafting best player available for anybody other than Brock Bowers. Mm. Like, you could probably, if you're going to go corner, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terry and Arnold, and they got that kid, I think, from Toledo, the Mitchell kid. If you're going to do that, you can pick up one of those guys at 15. At that stage, to me, it becomes irresponsible not to move down if you're going corner. If you're going pass rusher, I think that's a little bit different. If they're not going quarterback, what positions are you looking at in the first round?
Tight end, number one.
But if it's not Bowers, I mean.
If it's not Bowers, yeah.
There are a couple good third, fourth round tight ends in this draft. Okay, I like the kid Jared Wiley out of TCU a ton. He made a bunch of plays when we went down there, played him. Yeah. You know, beginning of the year, big physical tight end, can run like the wind. I think he was the third fastest tight end at the combine this year. I love that name. Broncos fans should keep their eyes on it. I think he was 2023, first team all Big 12. Then there's also that kid, Ben Sinnott. What do I want to say? Kansas State. Yeah. Does that sound right? Yeah, it is. Kansas State.
If you don't go and get a tight end, then you're probably going to go get an edge rusher, right? I've heard talks about the young man over there in UCLA.
Leatu.
Yeah, you know, I know that he had like a neck injury or something like that, and he retired and came back for football, so I don't know how that's going to affect him in the draft, but I could see him going for another edge rusher because you can never have enough edge rushers in the NFL.
Yeah, I went through NFL Mock Draft Database a while ago, and if you don't know about Mock Draft Database, it's essentially an aggregator. Okay, so they take all these different mock drafts from everybody, any, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry that slapped together a mock draft, and they basically say, all right, well, who do they have this team picking, this team picking, this team picking, and they list it. And the last time I looked, it was still Bo Nix at 12, which I think is interesting. And I kind of want to get back into the fact that Sean Payton wasn't at Bo Nix's pro day. Yeah. I mean, have you seen enough? I'm just curious. I mean, are you not trying to show people your cards?
It's not just Sean that wasn't there. You said it was light. I'm wondering why people are turned off by Bo Nix. And maybe it wasn't as light as we think it was. But Sean Payton obviously has his guy in mind and does not look like it's going to be Bo Nix.
Mm-mm. The Nuggets back in action tonight. A finals rematch against the Miami Heat down in Miami. Early start. This one at 5:30. There's one Denver Nugget I want to highlight because he's taken a ton of heat, but the consistency he's shown lately has been really impressive, and we'll dive into him next. Hey, Phil. I gotta apologize. Not to you. Not to you. Matt Smith and Prezak.
I was gonna take it. Like, all right, well, what'd you do this time?
Remember I called out one of the truckers yesterday, because I had the moment where I was like, what? If you're in an 18-wheeler, don't be all the way over in the left lane on the highway. Well, I was looking through the text line because, like I told you yesterday, we love truckers. We love all drivers here, people in the car all day, every day.
They keep the bread on the table.
Like I say, that's our familia, okay? Well, there were a couple of truck drivers. I feel like it was important that I at least gave them an opportunity to tell us why that may have happened.
Yeah.
Although I'll just tell these truck drivers, nobody had their flashers on. Okay, so nobody had their flashers on. He goes, as a trucker who listens to you guys all day, I can tell you honestly that if a trucker's in the left lane, he's there for a reason. It might be wind. It might be an obstacle coming up on the right shoulder. It might be that he's turning left in a mile or two. We have to anticipate before things so you're even aware of them. Look, I get it. I'm talking about on I-25, on the highway, okay? A five-lane highway all the way to the left. That's what I'm talking about. So, no, I don't agree. I'm like, I get that, and I respect that. Yeah, maybe there's an obstacle.
Well, it's such a big truck that it's like
you want to get
over.
Traffic.
Exactly, right? Yeah. You want to get over as fast as you can so that you're not having to sit here and try to get over at the last minute. But it does suck sometimes when you're behind the trucks.
Exactly. And then I was reading this other guy's response, and I think this guy is probably where, you know, the trucker I ran into yesterday probably fell into that category. We do that for a reason. It's because we're an 80,000-pound truck. We have to avoid traffic merging onto the highway because you guys don't know how to drive and merge onto a highway. You think trucks can just stop on a dime. See, now that makes sense because I was going through more of a congested area. So truckers, mea culpa, okay? I get it now.
People do suck at merging.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
they don't know how to merge.
The
worst. I just felt like I needed to reach out to the truckers, especially the ones listening all day, and just say,
shout out, truckers.
I get you. I got it. Sorry. Sorry, the guy
we're nothing,
just...
Hey, we're nothing without them because a lot of them are getting our merchandise and everything that we need to survive. They're the ones out here doing
especially
it for us.
Especially in the Snowmageddon that may or may not be happening. Yes, somebody on the text line got mad at me because I said the National Weather Service now is calling for high... uncertainty tonight.
Mm.
High uncertainty overnight. And they said, what are you talking about? It's 9 to 18 inches, so maybe we get absolutely hammered.
What was the last time we had a crazy snowstorm?
Yeah.
When was the last time we had a blizzard?
I feel like maybe 2 years ago in September, we got like 2 feet. That was the worst one.
Guys, it was actually 3 years ago tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Remember, it was the bomb, or that wasn't the bomb cyclone, but there was a big snowstorm.
The bomb cyclone was overrated. I've seen a bomb cyclone before, and that was no bomb cyclone. All right, look.
Somebody
on the text line, now we get a bunch of truckers. All right, I got you guys. There are many reasons you could be in the left lane. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Hey, I want to talk to you about the Nuggets tonight. And the guys kind of brought it up a little bit in jest that they're in Miami, Nuggets, Heat, finals rematch, really. They already beat them once this year. There's no chance that these guys are, you know, distracted by South Beach, is there?
No. They're all locked in. Look, Matt, it's Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you're going to be a little distracted, you know?
They had one night in South Beach ahead of tonight, so do we think that they were distracted?
Yeah, man. They probably went out there as a team, did a little team bonding, had a little fun.
Let me do a quick search here to see if there's any girls raising up Nikola Jokic's name on a sign above their head. Hold on.
They're in the club, huh?
I don't know. I've seen them in the club before down there in South Beach. It's just, I don't think you can be distracted, right? You play a team in the finals. Maybe you are. Maybe it's just the regular season. You go out, you have a nice time. But you probably don't push it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Malone's going to be really on top of them because of they've been dominant, but also some of the times they've played kind of wishy-washy in Malone's eyes, and mm-hmm. I think that he's tired of it. I think that Utah game, pulling his hair out and having his dad talk to him,
right,
and then sitting there with the Raptors and having that situation where you would think they were going to be able to rest their star players, and they all had to play till the end. You know, Jokic went and had another historic night. But you don't want to have to do that versus somebody like the Raptors. So I think that Malone is going to kind of be on top of their case going into Miami because he does want them focused. And they cannot, okay, they cannot go in there like they did the Utah Jazz and the Raptors and just expect to come out on the other side, especially playing away.
When we look back on the finals, I would say out of the starting five, the guy who probably disappointed the most was Michael Porter Jr.
Yes.
As far as in the finals.
Michael Porter Jr. has been the talk of the town with Zach and I for the start of the season, from the start of the season till now.
So talk to me about your feelings on him.
Look, I'm not the biggest Michael Jr. Porter fan, but
all
also
the way around, but yeah. Yeah. Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter Jr. I'm sorry, man.
Either one of them. Yeah.
You know, I'm not the biggest fan, but also I'm starting to see why people love Michael Porter Jr. when he is on top of his game. I just don't like the inconsistency, Matt.
I think that is very fair.
It drives me crazy, man.
Well, that has been a gripe, I think, that we've all had for a while. It's just, hey, man, you, one night you look like you could be that $30 million player that they paid you for, and then the next night, maybe it's not so great. But I'll just tell you, as somebody who's been a critic, I was a champion for him to start because it was a great draft pick when they made it, and then Michael Malone wouldn't play him, and I kept saying, play this guy, right? And then, okay, all right, we can start to see some of the mistakes. He really struggled defensively. That Phoenix series a couple of years ago, they lost that series because Phoenix ran every offensive action at MPJ. He couldn't stay in front of anybody and stay on the floor. I mean, KJ, am I right? I mean, 3 years ago against Phoenix was just a sham.
It sure was, and that was before he got hurt.
Okay, so. All right. Well, you know what?
The guy's had
five back surgeries. The fact that he's playing is a miracle. God, get out of
even
here, KJ.
Even at this time, sometimes you look at MPJ's defense, and it's like, come on, man, where is it at? You know, where is it at times? And I know you're a great scorer when you're hot,
mm-hmm.
And you've done a great job getting the boards, doing other things when you're not hot with the scoring situation. But there are times where it's like, this is why Peyton Watson is being asked to be in the game at times, because Peyton Watson plays defense, man. I love that man.
Well, I'll just say this about MPJ. We look back in the finals, he averaged 9.6 points per game, and he was 8.4 rebounds. He did rebound well.
Yeah.
And I remember that there were some talking points during the finals. Oh, my God, you see MPJ dive on the floor? It's like, yeah, I saw him dive on the floor. He's making $30 million. I expect him to dive on the floor. I expect him to score at least 15 a night. These are things I expect. Well, I got to give him a ton of credit. And I said this on our Sunday show, 7 to 10 a.m. with Kyle Reese. The last 10 games for MPJ since the All-Star break, Nuggets are obviously an NBA best 9-1 in that time.
They're hot.
Averaging 20 points per game, 7.7 rebounds per game on 55-41-92 shooting splits. So 41% from three and 92% from the line.
Why do you think that is?
Consistency and maturity.
Okay.
And I think it's because Jamal has been a little banged up from time to time.
Yeah.
And the second half of the season, there have been some really key moments where Jamal hasn't been in the lineup, and a lot more of the load has been on MPJ. And he showed up in a few of them.
Well, MPJ, remember when he was at a press conference and he kind of was, you know, saying something a little bit about how the ball can't get around to everybody. And he was kind of, I think he was kind of shooting a shot at Jamal Murray at a point where it's like, Jamal Murray's going to take his shots, but sometimes I'm open and Jamal won't give me the ball, which I've seen sometimes where Jamal will have a shot but also have MPJ open and shoot that shot, which can you fault someone like Jamal Murray for doing because he's one of the best to do it. And so I think that now when Jamal Murray gets taken out the game because of injuries, MPJ feels like this is my time. And there's times where he hasn't shown up and it was been his time. But now, since his break, he's been taking full advantage of that, and it's great to see, man.
Yeah, there's one thing I want to mention here on the way out, and that's that Michael here lately, I would say, outside of maybe the Boston game where I felt like it was a different game. Jamal and Joker really controlled the action. The other night against Toronto late in that game,
yeah.
Murray with the skip pass kind of across the offensive, you know, the offensive side of the floor.
It was good to see.
To MPJ. I mean, when was the last time Jamal made a play for him in a big moment late in the game like that? That was a really good sign that, hey, maybe there's some more trust developing with his teammates. Because when we look back at the NBA Finals, Bruce Brown, 11 points a game, 4.4 rebounds. He was the fourth leading scorer.
Yeah,
Michael Porter Jr. was fifth.
Yeah, he was
this year in the playoffs. Can't be like that. MPJ has to be more consistent, and we're starting to see signs. Look, if he can give you 20-7 in the playoffs, good luck the rest of the NBA.
Well, that's the thing, though, Matt. Can he be consistent enough to get to the playoffs where he is scoring 20 points? Because I'm telling you right now, Peyton Watson is sitting here doing the little things right on the defensive side of the ball. And there are times where Malone has taken out MPJ for Peyton Watson because Peyton Watson is a better defensive player. So if MPJ does not bring his A game, even in the playoffs, there will be some times where Peyton Watson is sitting there and maybe ending the game just because of what that young man does on the defensive side of the ball.
Nuggets, Heat, 5:30 ESPN national game we can all watch, which, hooray. I'm looking forward to that tonight. A couple interesting comments I want to address here on the RamosLaw.com text line. We'll do that coming up. More Broncos, more Avs. But on the other side, do you really need steroids for this sport? That's next. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye today. Phil Lindsay is here. Apparently, I'm being told that I've got the wrong information with the snow, that my snow information is old. What, you can't hear? You can't hear? Hey, Drew.
Oh, I can hear now.
You hear now? Okay.
All right. Maybe I just didn't want to hear your voice.
I think that's probably what happened. I've got the bad information. And you know what? We may end up getting Chris Bianchi on a little bit later because we need to figure out here what's going on with Snowmageddon. Is this legit? Sounds like it's getting more snow totals. Sounds like 10 to 20. So I'm going to do progressively throughout the show is just throw out a bunch of different numbers.
Yeah,
just
have like, everybody like in a blender. 40 now, you
absolutely.
Know? And then go back down to, it may be just 5.
We're looking at 50 inches, guys. It's going to be, I mean, batting down the hatches. I said before we went to break, do you really need steroids for this sport? Something came across the timeline last night. I wanted to run it by you. There's a 4-time Canadian curling champ that just got popped for legitimate roids, not a supplement. Real big deal steroids.
You talking about curling?
Curling. How do you, to brush the ice harder? I mean, why are you cycling for curling? That doesn't make sense to me.
To have bigger biceps, man.
For
bigger legs.
Right. That's right.
Just so you can
I like it. So you can wear the tight pants so your thigh is like popping out the back when you got the leg extended on the slide. I see what you're saying. Curling for the girls, huh?
Man, I don't know. Why are people taking steroids anyway? Everybody wants to try to up one somebody. And I'll tell you guys right now, steroids, all it does is hurt you in the end. Mm. Once the sports are all done and the glory days are all done, a lot of people are being affected by it with a lot of different things.
We've heard, you know, for a long time. Barry Bonds, you know, I mean, very, very famous. Yeah. Very famous stuff. Point was, I couldn't believe she did it for curling. I was like, really? Okay. Couldn't be me. Getting back to the Broncos here, just a second. We talked about the tight end room. There's been a lot of speculation that they may go out and add to the running back room.
Mm.
Javonte Williams came back presumably a little bit early from that injury. Do you anticipate them looking in the draft this year?
Yeah, I do. I do, Matt. At this point, you're trying to find that young talent that you can have on the roster for multiple years and you don't have to pay a lot of money for, right? You can pick up a running back in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round that can bring some spark to you. I mean, look at Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round pick, right?
If Cecil weren't, maybe Cecil listening.
Cecil will be banging the table right now, angry about it. So I would see them going for a younger running back right now. I mean, right now you have Samaje still on the roster.
All three. You got Samaje, Javonte, and Jahlil.
And Jahlil, that's my favorite running back right there. You know, I think that he definitely should have a bigger role. And it doesn't have to be just running the ball, but get him in the slot. Find ways to get him involved because of the speed he has.
They tried to do that at the end of the season. Other ways to get him involved than just the screen passes. Yeah. It became a little telegraphed there at the end, and then his effectiveness went, you know, kind of in the toilet.
Yeah.
Then I would say last few weeks of the season, they started doing some different things with him because they realized that, gosh, we just need somebody to make a play. And this dude's got some agility and athleticism, and when you get the ball in his hands, I mean, watch out. I was thinking about that Joker role, though. The Joker role for Sean Payton, the guy who can do a little bit of everything. This probably doesn't end up happening, but the name LaVisca Chenault popped out to me.
Huh?
I don't know. I thought it was interesting. Look, I mean, he's clearly injuries have marred his career, and they did in college, too. Low risk, high reward type of a guy. But again, you're only going to keep 5-6 tops wide receivers. Kind of tough to justify that, but we do know Sean Payton likes those type of guys. I'd be curious. I'd be curious what that might cost.
LaVisca over Lil Jordan Humphrey?
Well, I don't think Lil Jordan is the Joker, right? Lil Jordan is just kind of a depth piece at receiver, maybe a special teams
guy. But if you would have to get rid of receiver, right? You're sitting here like you don't have...
They don't have to right now, though.
Well, they don't. Because
right now, Sutton... And by the way, we don't know what's going on with Courtland Sutton. I think Sunday is the day that the Broncos have to make the decision whether or not they're actually moving on from Courtland Sutton. Actually, Chris Thomason, Denver Gazette, had this one a little bit earlier on Courtland Sutton, and I thought it was worth bringing up. He was saying that by Sunday, his non-guaranteed $13 million salary becomes guaranteed.
Ooh, but it's two non-guaranteed.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. So by Sunday. But $2 million becomes guaranteed if he's still on the roster on Sunday. Or excuse me, his contract number is a non-guaranteed $13 million, but $2 million becomes guaranteed if still on the roster on Sunday.
Okay.
So if he plays all year, he's got the $13, but part of that contract begins kicking in. That was what I meant to say on Sunday.
What are you thinking about the whole Courtland Sutton situation right now?
I don't know, Phil.
Do you keep him? Do you trade him? Because I think that they're looking for a trade. They're trying to get some value out of it, okay? If I'm Courtland Truly, why would I want to be here?
I'm with you there.
At this point, right? Everybody knows that this is a rebuild. We're getting ready. We've gutted the whole place out. Everybody that Courtland came up with or knows is out of there, other than Tim Patrick. Right? So for Courtland, it's like, why would you want to be here? And for Sean, it's like, can we get something for him?
What do you think about a guy like that who's clearly voiced the fact that he's either unhappy or uncomfortable in this situation, right? Yeah. I mean, publicly and on social media. Do you want those guys? I mean, do you think you could make it work with a guy like that?
You definitely can make it work because Courtland is a pro's pro. He will make it work with you. I think Courtland was upset with Sean Payton and George when they were trying to shop him around before the season even started this year, where he was going to get a deal done with the Baltimore Ravens. So I think that it would work and it could work. It all depends on what Courtland wants. Does Courtland want to be here? You know, is Sean willing to tailor things towards Courtland Sutton again? Or is it more of a, you know what, let's just do right by Cortland and do right by us because we're gutting the whole place out, and let Cortland go somewhere else and try to get something for him.
A little bit of breaking news to pass along. NFL free agency continuing to roll on. This one, Mike Garafolo, NFL Network. The Titans have agreed to terms with former Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph to a one-year deal worth up to $3.62 million. Sources say after six seasons with Pittsburgh, that ended on a high note. Solid play down the stretch. And now Rudolph, a fresh start in Tennessee. So sounds like a backup there in Tennessee for Will Levis.
We'll take Mason Rudolph off the board for us.
Yeah, this to me kind of screams the Broncos, unless they're in love with Ryan Tannehill for some reason, probably aren't going down that road anymore.
So we're really going to have a Jared Stidham and, of course, a rookie, which now I feel like you have to move up in the draft. Matt, you have to. You have to move up.
Nice job. Nice job. You have to move. Well, what do you give up to move up in the draft? Actually, you know what? We ought to do that. Guys, behind the scenes, we ought to look what teams have surrendered to move up into the top five. Like, what kind of value that they're giving up? Because are we looking at next year's first? Are we looking at this year's, couple of thirds? What are we looking at there? Because if you move up from 12 to, say, 8, maybe 6, what is that going to cost you, actually? Yeah. Does it cost you next year's first? Because, I mean, are you moving up to 6, hypothetically, to draft J.J. McCarthy, and you're going to give up next year's first to take QB4 in this class? You're going to do that? I don't know. That seems to me like it's a bit of a gamble. And look, on the other side, there was a former NFL star receiver that has come out and blasted Sean Payton. You're going to want to hear this, so hold on for that next.